All right. Hallelujah. Here we are once again. Another Bible study to get to continue in our Torah portion. We can pretty much say always that Almighty Yah is good to us. In every part of our journey, where we've been and where we're going to and where we're at right now. And the Torah portion revolves around that. Maaseh, journeys. We can go ahead and review the topics in the Parasha. With chapter 33 is viewing past, seeing how Elohim led, and looking back with gratitude versus looking back in pride or guilt. In chapter 34 was vision, future looking at Elohim, our future inheritance, what we have to look forward to. Or we could be self-seeking, gratification, personal wants and desires. Or in other words, what just giving into the flesh always. In chapter 35, revolved around vindication, accidents, refuge for mistake versus intentional life-taking, no refuge for intentional life-taking. In chapter 36, valuing protecting inheritance like the daughters of the tribe versus not caring for heritage like Esau, who gave up his birthright over a meal. So we can go ahead, if you want to follow along in the slides, we can go to slide 489. And this is revolving around chapter 35, verse 26 and 27. And it makes it clear, when a manslayer went outside the limits of the city and was killed by the revenger of blood, then the revenger of blood was not guilty, because the manslayer should have remained in the city. Now we learned through this journey that there are boundaries that are set. These boundaries are genuinely for our life. And we learned that whenever we took hold of the horns on the altar and realizing that through our sin and transgression, we put our Messiah to death, because he took on that burden, he took on that sacrifice, so that way we can live as long as we remain in the refuge, in the cities that he places us in, which is his word, his promises, the covenants that he has before us. But it comes back to the boundaries and limits that we are to live within, which is the Torah, and whenever we go outside of the limitations of the Torah, whereas the lawless and the punishment for sin is death. Those who remain in Messiah, we know that the second death will have no power over them. The principle of the cities of refuge teaches us a very clear lesson, and that we are to stay in Messiah, a powerful example of one who had neglected to keep the sovereigns and stay where he was told is seen in Malachim Aleph, or 1 Kings, the second chapter. And we can actually go to 1 Kings chapter 1, and we'll start there reading into the second chapter. First Kings chapter 1, verse 1. And the sovereign David was old, advanced in years, and they covered him with garments, but he could not get warm. It's an imagery of him drawing very close to passing. So his servant said to him, "Let them seek for our master, the sovereign, a young woman, a maiden, and she shall stand before the sovereign and be his companion. And shall lie in your bosom, so that our master the sovereign gets warm." And they sought for a beautiful young woman in all the border of Israel, and remained inside of Israel, and found Ashbechai, the Shunammite, and brought her to the sovereign. And the young woman was very beautiful, and she was a companion for the sovereign and served him, but the sovereign did not know her. And Adonijah son of Haggagoth, exalted himself. And we already know right there, you can see the spirit of Korach rising up. And we are familiar with Korach and his rebellious spirit. Saying, I reign. And he prepared for himself a chariot and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And now his father had not worried him at any time by saying, why have you done so? He was also very good looking, and he was born after Absalom. And he talked with Joab, son of Zerah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they supported Adonijah. It's a continuous pattern that we can see that this rebellious spirit is always going to seek those that are willing to listen, to willing to chip in so they can get a piece of the prize. Because all in all, flesh knows flesh and spirit knows spirit. Those two are always going to be at enmity with each other. And with that being said, the next verses show that those that were walking in the spirit, those that kept their oil, were not invited to this gathering. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slaughtered sheep and cattle and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by En Rogel. He also invited all his brothers, the sovereign's sons, and the men of Yehudah, servants of the sovereign. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Benaiah, or the mighty men, or Shlomo, his brother. These are the ones that kept their oil filled. Nathan then spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Shlomo, saying, have you not heard that Adonijah, son of Haggagoth, has become sovereign, and David, our master, does not know it? And now, come, let me give you advice and deliver your own life and the life of your son Shlomo. So these immediate things that are about to take place with the wisdom of the prophet Nathaniel reminded me of how whenever Messiah told us to be wise as serpent and gentle as doves, there's going to be situations in our lives that we know ultimately the Father Yah has appointed us for. He's setting us up and lining it up. And then there's going to be this opposite force that wants to steal the inheritance, because this is about boundaries, it's about inheritance, it's about promise, it's about oath. It's about all the things that Almighty Yah lives by, because he can fulfill all these things on his own. We are just nothing but clay, and he's our potter. And he's molding us back into the image that he wants for us. So that way we can be that clay pot that retains all of what he wants us to hold. Because if we don't allow that to take place, then we'll have holes in us. We'll have deformities. We'll have things that will just cause us not to be able to retain the true blessings that he has for our lives. And I want to receive that. I want to have that. I want to die to flesh daily. I don't want to rise up. I don't want to self-exalt in the same way that we can see his brother Adonijah is doing. We see these constant spirits show themselves in different parts and places of time. But he said, as in giving advice, verse 13, go immediately to the sovereign, David, and say to him, did you not, my master, O sovereign, swear to your female servant, saying, certainly your son Shlomo shall reign after me and shall sit on my throne. Why then Adonijah become servant? Why has he become servant? Sovereign, thank you. Look, while you are still speaking there with the sovereign, let me come in after you and confirm your words. Because they know that they're dealing with David. And all matters should be confirmed with two or more witnesses. And Bathsheba went into the room to the sovereign. Now the sovereign was very old. And Ashbag, the Shunammite, was serving the sovereign. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance to the sovereign. It's another example of our approach. We should always be reverenced towards the Most High and who he chooses to be sovereign. And the sovereign said, what do you wish? And she said to him, My master, you swore by Jehovah, your Elohim, to your female servant, saying, Certainly, Shlomo, your son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. And now look, Adonijah has become sovereign, and now my master, the sovereign, you do not know about it. And he has slaughtered great numbers of bulls and fatlings and sheep, and has invited the sons of the sovereign and Ebiathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army, but he did not invite Shlomo your servant. And you, my master, O sovereign, the eyes of all Israel are on you to declare to them who is going to sit on the throne of my master, the sovereign, after him. Otherwise, it shall be when my master, the sovereign, rests with his fathers, that I and my son Shlomo be considered sinners. You know, and that's the ultimate dilemma. If truly this transition of authority would have been put in the wrong hands, they would have just used and abused their power and immediately brought up their past quarrelings. We serve an Almighty Yah that is very patient and forgiving. We know the transgressions that took place with David that changed his life forever and that ultimately brought forth Shlomo. But we just know that Father Yah is always continually providing a way for us to be able to walk in the anointing and callings that he gives us. And see, while she was still speaking with the sovereign, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they informed the sovereign, saying, Here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the sovereign, he bowed down before the sovereign with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, My master, O sovereign, have you said, O Adonijah shall reign after me and shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has slaughtered great numbers of bulls, fatlings, and sheep, has invited all the sovereign sons and the commanders of the army, and Ebiathar the priests, and look, they are eating and drinking before him. And they say, Let sovereign Adonijah live. But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Shlomo. If this matter is from my master the sovereign, then you did not let your servant know who should sit on the throne of my master the sovereign after him. And sovereign David answered and said, Call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the sovereign's presence and stood before the sovereign. And the sovereign took an oath and said, As Jehovah lives, who has ransomed my life out of all distress, even as I swore to you by Jehovah Elohim of Israel, saying, Certainly, Shlomo your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. Even so, I do this day. And Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did obeisance to the sovereign and said, Let my master, Sovereign David, live forever. And Sovereign David said, Call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the sovereign. And the sovereign said to them, Take with you the servants of your master, and you shall have Shlomo, my son, ride on my own mule and take him down to Gihon. And there Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet shall anoint him over sovereign of Israel and blow the shofar and lay and say, Let sovereign Shlomo live. And you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall reign in my place. For I have commanded him to be ruler over Israel and over Yehudah. And Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the sovereign and said, Amen. So says Jehovah, Elohim of my master, the sovereign. As Jehovah has been with my master, the sovereign, so let him be with Shlomo and make this throne greater than the throne of my master, Sovereign David. Then the Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Kithorites and the Pelites, which would be the executioners and the messengers, or the guards and the messengers, went down and had Shlomo ride on Sovereign David's mule and took him to Gihon. And the Tzaddik priest took a horn of oil from the tent and anointed Shlomo. And they blew the shofar and let all the people said, "Let Sovereign Shlomo live." And all the people came up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with a great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. You know, what's absolutely incredible about this is, no matter how many times in history, no matter how many examples we have, we see that continuation of the same thing repeating itself. He wants to make it very clear to us how his character is. Because as we approach a time where truly it's going to determine where our heart is in serving him and how we live to love one another and obey in his commands, will determine quite literally our ended outcome. If we truly want to possess the inheritance of entering into the promised land, character is everything. This is why we have this. This is why we have the Torah, the prophets, all these things that we get to take in, and we see things through the Hebraic lens, so that way we can truly see the genuineness of our Father that wants us to succeed. So that way he can do exactly what verse 40 is saying, whenever we overcome and we walk in anointing and calling that he has for our lives, to be able to rejoice a great joy that all the entire world will hear as in a proclamation. And Adonaiyahu and all the guests who were there, who were with him, heard it as they had finished eating. And Joab heard the voice of the shofar and said, "Why is this city such a noisy uproar?" And he was still speaking, then see, Jonathan came, son of Abiathar the priest, and Adonaiyahu said to him, "Come in, for you are a brave man, and you bring good news." But Jonathan answered and said to Adonaiyahu, "No, our master, Sovereign David, has made Shlomo sovereign. And the sovereign has sent with him Tzaddik the priest, and Nathan the prophet, Benaiyahu, son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they had him riding the sovereign's mule. And Tzaddik the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him sovereign at Gihon. And they have gone up from their rejoicing. And the city is moved. This noise you heard. This is the noise you heard. And further, Shlomo sits on the throne of the reign. And further, the servants of the sovereign have gone to bless our master sovereign David, saying, "Let your Elohim make the name of Shlomo better than your name, and this throne greater than your throne." And the sovereign bowed himself on the bed. And the sovereign also said, "Thus blessed be Jehovah, Elohim of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, while my eyes see it." And all the guests who were invited with Adonaiyahu were afraid, rose, and each one went his way. And that's just a typical picture of the fact that if we put ourselves in a position to where we're just operating in the flesh and we're looking for people just to tickle each other's ears and just make each other feel good about our decisions and how we're trying to manipulate and get what we want, that they'll just, whenever time comes, they won't have your back. They'll walk out on you. They'll leave you in a heartbeat. They only want to share in the riches, not the judgment. And Adonaiyahu was afraid of Shlomo and rose and went and took hold of the horns of the slaughter place. You know, when I first read this in this area about the horns of the slaughter place, that imagery is just, it's powerful, because we know he is the Aleph and the Tav, and we know that the Aleph is the oxen, and it has the horns, and the horns could be signified as kingship, as a crown, to take hold of him and who he is and his authority. But if we don't, and we're just doing it out of selfish need, truly we're taking hold of the horns of the anti-Messiah, the lamb with horns, a false imagery. And it was reported to Shlomo saying, look, Adonaiyahu is afraid of sovereign Shlomo. And look, he has taken hold of the horns of the slaughter place, saying, let sovereign Shlomo swear to me today that he does not put his servant to death with the sword. And Shlomo said, if he proves himself a worthy man, and that says a lot. That says a lot, where a lot of people could just execute judgment. And you know the intents of a person's heart. And how many times have we backslid? How many times have we fallen short? And yet he still gives us a chance to prove ourselves worthy. I know me on my own in the flesh, I'm not worthy of the ruach in my breath, the breath in my lungs, in the flesh. But what he was able to provide for us, the refuge that he put us in, I'm able to walk out with my head held high. I'm able to look back and actually see all the things that used to bring me pain and realize that that was just a humbling season in my life to allow me to be able to walk in a better character than what I used to be in. I'm no more a victim to my past, but a conqueror in the name of Yeshua. And Shlomo said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him is going to fall to the earth. But if evil is found in him, then he shall die. And sovereign Shlomo sent, and they brought him from the slaughter place. And he came and fell down before sovereign Shlomo. And Shlomo said, go to your house. He set boundaries for him. 1 Kings chapter 2. And the days of David drew near to die, and he commanded Shlomo his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth, and you shall be strong and be a man, and guard the charge of Jehovah your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to guard his laws, his commands, his right rulings, and his witnesses, as it is written in the Torah of Moshe, so that you do wisely all that you do wherever you turn. So that Jehovah does establish his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons guard their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their being, saying, there is not to cease a man of yours on the throne of Israel. And also you know what Joab, son of Zerah, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, and Abner, son of Ner, and Amnon, and Ithar, and that he killed them and shed blood of battle and peace, and put the blood of battle on his belt that was around his waist and on the sandals that were on his feet. So act according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to Sheol in peace. But show loving commitment to the sons of Barzillai and Galadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother. And see, with you is Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Beurim, who cursed me. With a grievous cursing in the day when I went to Machanim Naim, But he came down to me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by Jehovah, saying, I shall not put you to death with the sword. And now do not leave him unpunished, for you are a wise man, and know what you should do to him, and shall bring his gray hair down to Sheol with blood. And the days that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And Shlomo sat on the throne of his father David, and his reign was firmly established. And Adonijah, son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Shlomo, and she said, do you come in peace? And he said, peace. And he said, I have a word for you. And she said, speak. And he said, you know that the reign was mine. It's like, we should never be in a position to where we're literally forgiven for our transgressions, our shortcomings, our fleshly acts. And if we don't walk that forgiveness out, then we'll act in the same way. We'll be bitter. We'll look back and not see that you literally just had your life spared. Your life was spared, and you still hunger for the thing that was about to get your life taken from you. It consumes you. It controls you. It's the true definition of possession. And we can't be in a position like that. We have to do self-inventory to make sure that there's nothing in our life that it could be even a blessing that he's blessed us with for our obedience. We can turn it into an idol. We can turn it into something that causes us to just be consumed more by that than realizing that he allowed us a second chance to be able to walk out humbly. And all Israel had set their faces toward me, that I should reign. But the reign has been turned around and has become my brother's, for it was his from Jehovah. And now I am making one request of you. Do not refuse me. And she said to him, say it. And he said, please speak to Sovereign Shlomo, for he would not refuse you to give me Abishag, the Shimonite woman, as a wife. And Bathsheba said, good, let me speak for you to the sovereign. And Bathsheba came to the sovereign Shlomo to speak to him for Adonijah. And the sovereign rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the sovereign's mother. So she sat at his right hand. What's important in that verse? I'm just being reminded. And the sovereign rose up to meet her, his mother, and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne for the sovereign's mother. It's another simple example of the fact that that's a commandment with a promise to respect mother and father. Mm-hmm. And no matter how awful we may think people can be, and this is not a parallel to Bathsheba because she conducted herself very well, but this is a parallel that we can take on the fact that no matter how bad an upbringing can be, the respect is not just for them, it's for us. That's part of why it'll allow us to live a long life. It'll bring blessing to us. It'll help us. It'll make us remind ourselves to be humble before those that Almighty Yah chose to bring us into life, that he did through them. And she said, I am making one small request of you. Do not refuse me. And the sovereign said to her, ask it, my mother, for I do not refuse you. Then she said, let Ashbag, the Shimonite, be given to Adonijah for your brother as a wife. And Sovereign Shlomo answered and said to his mother, now why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the reign also, for he is my older brother. For him and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Shlomo was able to see right through it. He knew that this was more of a power statement, that his brother was just trying to find some way to get leverage to still get the very thing that he was destroying his life for. The flesh will never stop unless you subject it to the things of the Spirit, and it has to die. And Sovereign Shlomo swore by Jehovah, saying, Elohim does so to me, and more also. If Adonijah, who has not spoken this word against his own life, and now, as Jehovah lives, who established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house, and has promised, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. And the sovereign Shlomo sent by the hand of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him, and he died. Then the sovereign said to Abiathar the priest, go to Anath, to your own fields, for you deserve death, but I do not put you to death at this time, because you did bear the ark of the master Jehovah before my father David, and because you were afflicted in all my father, and all my father was afflicted in. So Shlomo dismissed Abiathar from being priest to Jehovah to fill the word of Jehovah, which he had spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. And news came to Joab, for Joab had turned aside after Adonijah, though he did not turn aside after Absalom. And Joab fled to the tent of Jehovah and took hold of the horns of the slaughter place. And report came to Sovereign Shlomo that Joab had fled to the tent of Jehovah, and see, he is by the slaughter place. Then Shlomo sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall on him. So Benaiah came to the tent of Jehovah and said to him, thus said the sovereign, come out. And he said, no, for I die here. And Benaiah brought back word to the sovereign, saying, thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the sovereign said to him, do as he said and fall upon him. And you shall bury him, so that you take away from me and from my house of my father the blood which Joab shed without cause. And we know there is no refuge for whenever bloodshed is without cause. And we all have the fair warnings, because we know that prime example right in the beginning with Cain and Abel, that sin is crouching at the door. So shall their blood return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David and his seed, upon his house and his throne, there is to be peace forever from Jehovah. Then Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and put him to death. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the sovereign put Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, in his place over the army. And the sovereign put Zadok the priest in his place over Ephidar. And the sovereign sent and called for Shimei and said to him, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere. It was a command and a boundary set for him, a place of refuge. And it shall be, on the day you go out and possess and pass over the Wadi Qadron, know for certain that you shall die. Your blood is on your own head. And Shimei said to the sovereign, the word is good. As my master the sovereign has said, so your servant does. And that would be a vow. So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to be at the end of 3 years that two slaves of Shimei fled to Achish, son of Machoth, sovereign of Gath. And they informed Shimei, saying, "See, your slaves are in Gath." And Shimei rose up and saddled his donkey and went to Achish at Gath to look for his slaves. And Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. When I read that, it overwhelmed me with the fact that, once again, you provided a way of refuge, you provided a way at life, a second chance to live. And how is it that there's things that we can be so attached to that we allow it to cost us our lives, our eternal life, all because we don't want to stay in the boundaries? And we know that there's a plethora of Torah, a plethora of right rulings and commands that we can look at, the 613 mitzvot. He summarizes it for us in 10. And the Messiah summarizes it, those 10 into 2. Because at the end of the day, it's all about character. And he provides the knowledge and increase. And Shlomo was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had come back. So the sovereign sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by Jehovah and warn you, saying, 'Know for certain that on the day you leave to go anywhere, you shall certainly die.' And you said to me, 'The word I have heard is good.' And why have you not guarded the oath of Jehovah and the command that I gave you?" The sovereign also said to Shimei, "You shall know all the evil that your heart has known, that you did to my father David, and Jehovah shall return your evil on your own head. But sovereign Shlomo is blessed, and the throne of David is established before Jehovah forever." So the sovereign commanded Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he went and fell on him, and he died, and this reign was established in the hand of Shlomo. Something that I found interesting, and I feel like it has more depth to, is that there's a connection between the names here, between the five names provided of the good and bad, and it reminds us of the ten virgins in Matthew in chapter 25. And I would like to go there and read over it. And before we read, we note that it was Adoniah, his mother Haggith, Joab, Abithar the priest, and Shimei, and with Solomon, it was Solomon, his mother Bathsheba, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. Those that walked according to the flesh, and those that just kept allowing their oil to be refilled. But in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 1, "Then the rain of the heavens shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish, having taken their lamps, took no oil with them. But those who were wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom took time, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'See, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those maidens rose up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us your oil. Give us of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, indeed. There would not be enough for us and you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him in the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And the latter of the maidens, and later the other maidens, also came saying, "Master, Master, open up for us." But he answering said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, because you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Adam is coming." We're given, once again, the boundaries of promises that we look forward to. And the choice to show up to whenever we need to show up to have our oil refilled. And that's daily. And twice the portion for Shabbat. He wants to make sure that we're ready to be able to endure, because endurance is a fruit of the Spirit. And now going back to the slides. On 490. And now 491. Shimei was a man who had cursed David. And when David met him, he swore that he would not put him to death. And in his closing words to Shlomo, he told his son that he would know what to do with Shimei. Shlomo then made it very clear to Shimei that he was not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. And in the day that he would go out and pass over the Wadi, Kidron, he would die and his blood would be on his own head. Shimei agreed to the words of Shlomo and said that they were good words. 3 years later, some of the slaves of Shimei had fled to Gath. Shimei was told that he went to Gath and brought back his slaves. Shlomo was told in order to put Shimei to death. This account teaches us a vital lesson in regards to the city of refuge principle, and how we who are in Messiah must stay in him and not walk outside the boundaries of his commands by compromising our walk. For if we found to have done so, then our blood shall be on our own head by our own doing as we stepped out of the promised refuge of our King and High Priest. Yochanan, John, chapter 15, verses 4 through 10. Stay in me, and I stay in you. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine, so neither you, unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, because without me you are able to do naught. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you stay in me, he really wants to drive it to us to make sure that we stay in him. And my words stay in you. You shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. And I know it seems so simple, but whenever he says that, it speaks volumes, due to the fact that there was a point in time early in my walk where I was very, very naive and was reading this particular verse and was like, whatever I wish. And, you know, of course, the flesh has its ways of thinking, like, well, money, success, you know, just the things that you think it takes to make it, and it's not. You know, what's incredible about it is if you stay in me and my words stay in you, when you do ask for whatever you wish, it's going to be coming from a pure heart. It's probably going to be more on the lines for those that need what you already have, is the oil. And while we're in a time to where we can share that oil and actually be a light to the nations and help, and we should be doing our due diligence to stay in him and his character and his commands that help us see his character through set apart spirit. And it shall be done for you. In this my Father is esteemed, that you bear much fruit, and you shall be my taught ones. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Stay in my love if you guard my commands. You shall stay in my love, even as I have guarded my Father's commands and stay in his love. And actually, let's go in our Bibles to John chapter 15. And we're going to go ahead and read together John chapter 15, verse 1 through 17. And broaden the context and the in-depthness of this incredible part of Scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. And that's detrimental to whenever we have our moments and seasons where we're in our walk and it feels as if we were just following everything to the T, making sure that we're checking ourselves daily. And then we still have something come against us. It's just that pruning process so that way we can develop more. I'm reminded of Job. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Stay in me, and I stay in you, as the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine. So neither you, unless you stay in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who stays in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because without me, you are able to do naught. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. If you stay in me and my words stay in you, you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. In this my Father is esteemed that you bear much fruit, that you shall be my taught ones. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Stay in my love. If you guard my commands, you shall stay in my love, even as I have guarded my Father's commands. There's no new set of commands. And stay in his love. These words I have spoken to you so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. This is my command, that you love one another as I loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. And truly the easiest way that we can lay down our lives for one another is dying to self and walking in his commands, staying in him, staying in his word, allowing ourselves to bear the fruit that is supposed to produce from the right tree. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all teachings which I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that whatever fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he might give you. These words I command you so that you love one another. And when we look at the Greek word translated as stay, it's meno. It should be one that we're familiar with, which is G3306, and it means to stay, abide, remain, stand, keep continually, endure, and can be also understood as having the meaning to remain as one, which would be unity. We need to be under the same mind, like mind as Christ, as Yeshua. And not to become another or different. In other words, then we stay and the Master. We do not change our commitment to bearing fruit of set-apartness, and we do not shrink back from standing firm in the truth, but rather remain firm in our fervent stand of belief and guard the clear and pleasant boundaries that He has given us through His Word. And with that, I know that despite the situation that I may be facing right now in my life, and the things that are trying to run through my head and the different situations, this Torah portion has helped draw an emphasis on where my focus should be in the Father, and how to keep His character. And not to make it sound like as it is some light affliction, but to be in reality it is, because right now everything seems to be fine. But I want to thank y'all for being patient with me, and I apologize if that just seemed out of nowhere. I know it sounds silly, but sometimes I forget I'm human, and I'm gonna have shortcomings, and I'm gonna go through stuff. But I know who my Father is. But I love y'all, and I'm thankful for y'all.